Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. By the way, the 3,000 were added to the church after Peter preached, and very quickly another 2,000. So this was a church of 5,000, but they were spread out among various houses and stuff that they met in. There are five character traits of the early church culture that just go over this real quick. They were devoted to scriptural teaching, right? The apostles' teaching, which to us, that would be in the New Testament. I mean, they didn't have, the apostles hadn't written all their letters yet, so a lot of them, they were going off what the apostles taught and how the apostles interpreted the Old Testament. So that's what they're talking about. But when we have to devote ourselves to the teaching of the word, fellowship. And we're going to get into what that means. It's basically, it's probably not what you think it means. Breaking of bread, and that could be communion, but a lot of times it was just they shared a meal together. And we know that's a very valuable thing, especially here in local culture, yeah. We really, there's a spiritual component even. When we come together not just to eat and have a good time. We come together because it's what? Ohana, family, right? That's our kuleana. We got to bring that's our business. We got to bring that family together. Prayer, and they had an uncommon generosity. And so these were five characteristics that made the church very distinct, separate, and different from the surrounding Roman culture. If you want to wonder what the early Roman culture was like, you can study history, but I can just tell you, it's pretty much like modern-day America. Our values right now are pretty much where their values were. So let's take a look at this first one. It talks about being devoted to scriptural teaching. How many of you guys ever started a gym membership? Okay, now how many of you guys have started a gym membership and you like go the first once, twice, maybe you go to the orientation, but then you never go back? You don't have to raise your hand. Something happens, you get, maybe you hurt yourself, or maybe you just get busy, but you never quite go back, and then there's this monthly charge. Really? What is that? Oh, that's right. And a lot of people will join the gym. This word devoted means to press in, right? So they pressed in. They were devoted to the teaching. It wasn't that they did listen, but it's that they were devoted. When you're going to work out, you have to devote yourself. You have to press in and do presses. But you have to get, when you get into the gym, right, and you go and you can work out. But how many of you guys ever worked out? Maybe you never really did a workout. You didn't really know what you were doing. And you went out and, oh, I'm going to go on this machine. Oh, yeah, oh, this is really good. Well, I'm going to do 3 sets of 10 over here and 3 sets of 10 reps over here. And what happens the next day? You saw. Hurts, are we? Right? Why? All that lactic acid is built up in there because you went bonkers and go, I'm going to really get, you're not going to get muscles in one day. There's no one-day muscle program. It just doesn't work like that. What you have to do, and a lot of times you need a buddy. I had a friend of mine, Andy, and we went to the gym. It's like, I don't know. When I did not want to go, I really don't want to go. You're trying to find an excuse why, right? Oh, I'm tired, I'm this, that. you know, but when you get over that hump and then you continue to go, then after 30, 60, 90 days, you begin to see something, right? All of a sudden you're like, hey, what is this? I'm missing some. Oh, that's great. You know, you feel good, right? You get a little bit toned up or whatever it is, whatever you're trying to achieve. Maybe you have more energy. And so you see the results. See, the scripture is very similar, that when we start reading the Bible, sometimes I'll have people that come to me, oh, pastor, I'm really having a hard time reading the Bible. Really? Yeah, I just can't get into it. You know, I read it and I'm just not getting anything else. It's kind of boring. Really? What are you reading? The genealogy in Matthew is like so-and-so begets so-and-so begets so-and-so begets so-and-so. What am I supposed to get out of this, pastor? Well, skip the genealogy for right now. You know, it's okay to skip in your daily reading. Pastor. Yeah, if you have them on your Bible, it's okay. If you want to skip to the good parts, you want to skip to some of the life application. There is some good stuff in the genealogies. But you know what? Don't get stuck. There's a ton of different Bible reading programs. If you get bored, hey, get to something. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the Bible. Amen? But the thing is also, you got to stick with it. You go, oh, I don't see, it's so hard. It's hard living this out. Yes, but when you devote yourself to the scripture, when you devote yourself to the word of God, takes time, but you will begin to see results. In fact, probably other people will begin to see results before you notice them, because we're our own worst critic, aren't we? We condemn. Oh my gosh, I messed up. You could have done 5 good things that week. You did the 1 bad thing. And you're like, oh, right? You're always weighing and judging yourself. Well, in devotion, it's hard to devote yourself to scripture and devote yourself to teaching the word of God if you don't have fellowship. And fellowship is really what I want to spend most of the time talking about today. Because fellowship, the word is koinonia. Koinonia means to partner with each other. And koinonia basically is sharing the life of Jesus Christ together. It's gathering to stimulate each other towards spiritual growth. How many of you guys know it's kind of hard to live out the scriptures alone? It's hard to do it on your own. Just like it's hard to work out at a gym on your own. If you're it and you're your only motivator and there's nobody else, you're looking around and nobody's holding me accountable. I'm going to go out about 10 minutes early and no one's going to know, right? I know, I've done it. They're like, that's what happened. You need to go back. No. So fellowship is basically it's us growing together. Now, you come here and you listen to me teach, and that's good. But the fellowship is really, it happens more in, for us, we have small groups. And really, I don't know any other way to really do fellowship than when you gather in smaller groups. Because it does happen when we minister to each other. You know, we can do that in the church, but fellowship, it's something we do together. There's some colleges, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but there's some colleges that they had some tests coming up, and they know students having anxiety of these tests that were coming up. So what they did to help combat the anxiety their students were having, they said, well, you know what? We have comfort pets. So if you're having a really hard time studying for the test, here's a cat or here's a puppy. Now, I'm not kidding. This is for real. So, and I'm not bashing comfort pets, okay? These kids haven't gone out and lived yet. You know what I'm going? It's like, gotta get a few more knocks here. But they have comfort pets. Another thing that you see in the news is they create these safe spaces. You ever seen this? Safe spaces in the college. And where is the safe space? Well, if somebody is saying something you don't want to hear, you go to the safe space. And you don't have to hear the truth. You know, everybody thinks the same. And you can just stay in that little safe spot. And I began thinking about this, going, wow, safe spaces. You never have to hear anything you don't want to hear. I mean, how many of us want one of those spaces? Yeah, I'm just going to go here. Yeah, it's just called my room. But I begin thinking about safe spaces, and I think we need, as a church, to create a safe space, not to avoid the truth, obviously. But I think because life is hard, and people just want somebody to listen to them. People just want a place that they can be themselves, right? Don't you just want that? And I think the church ought to be the safest place ever. Sometimes we fail, though, at being a safe place. Yeah? We can fail. But we should be the safest place. You should be able to come here and be able to learn the Word of God, be able to share your life with other people in a way that you feel is safe. You can be authentic. You could be the real you. And it's hard to do that in a gathering. And even though this is a small church gathering, I really believe in small groups. We have small groups that we have during the week. You might be a part of a Bible study, and maybe it's a thing of a schedule. Maybe you got to look at your schedule. Some people do it during the day. But you need to get together with other believers in Jesus Christ. You need to get together with other Christians. See, fellowship, I used to think fellowship was eating cake and punch after church. Because that's what we had. We had this thing called Fellowship Hall. Where is everybody going, Mom? We're going to Fellowship Hall. Okay, what's the Fellowship Hall? Cake and punch. So I went in there, and as a little kid, I thought, fellowship is cake and punch. That's what it is. And you grow up a little bit, what's fellowship? Oh, I don't know. Where's the cake? Where's the punch? Where's the food? I thought, no. People think that fellowship is just when Christians gather and they eat. And we kind of use that word flippantly, don't we? Oh, let's go fellowship. No, you mean let's go out to Zippy's and grind and talk story. That's what you mean, right? But fellowship is what happens when we gather. There's a sharpening of one another. There's a deepening of our relationship with each other and with God. So there's substance. There's a spiritual growth. I grow, you grow. We both grow together. That's what fellowship is about. And I think that small groups provide a way. And I want to share with you, and this might be a little bit of a training for you this morning, small group leaders, or those, if you ever want to do a small group, let me tell you how to do it and how to be successful at it, okay? It shouldn't take long. The first thing, if you want to have a successful small gathering, please make it small. If you have a group and you have 10, you get up to 15, 20 people, that's not a small group anymore. That's like a mini church plant. So don't do that. But keep it small. You know, 6, 8, maybe less. And the first thing you do is you establish a covenant of confidentiality. What's said in the group stays in the group. Yeah, right? Like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I know, bad illustration, but, you know, we're not talking about all kinds of debauchery, and we're not going to talk about that. But what's said in the group stays in the group. Why? Because you don't want somebody to run around, oh, you know what happened in the small group? That's why people don't go to small group, right? They don't want their business spread out all over the place. You want to feel safe and sharing. And so when you have a covenant of confidentiality, basically, yeah, just nothing gets shared outside the group. Unless, you know, you're trying to overthrow the government, plot a terrorist attack, or cause division in the church and bring the leadership down. Other than that, keep it to yourself. Amen? I mean, those three things, those are pretty important, you know. You can blow me up, you can blow somebody up. They're planning an attack, but I don't want to say anything. See something, say something. So have a covenant of confidentiality. Basically, because what? We want people to share. You want to be able to share your heart, right? This is what I'm going through. If life sucks, say it. Oh, just what is on your heart? Where are you at? man, I'm having a hard time. And you can be honest. Because how many of you guys know, if there's not a covenant of confidentiality when you establish your small group study, most people, when you're in a small group or you're in a church group or you're in any kind of social environment, I remember learning, you guys ever play poker? Well, not for money. I never play for money. I play for nachos. Nacho chips, Doritos, things like that. But when we were kids, before all these video games and things that you guys have, all these little apps, just sit walking around with all the little, you know, all the little apps and little tiny video games, we had a deck of cards. You want something to do? Here's a board game. Monopoly. The game of life. Right? Chutes and ladders. Cards. And so we play poker, and you learn there's different hands. But if you didn't, but you didn't want people to know what you had, so what you'd hold the cards really close to your vest, okay, or close to your chest here, okay. This is, man, but you can't let them know you got a good hand, right? You can't be like, this is awesome. Don't do that, right? What do you got to do? You got to bluff them. You got to bluff. Hand is just terrible. It's terrible. Right? This is a junk hand. This is junk. But you don't want to lay your cards out on the table because you don't want to let everybody know. And when we share, we don't want to be judged. We have a hard time laying our cards on the table with a group of people, a group of strangers, let alone even some people that we know really well. What are they going to think of me? Will they accept what I said? Am I going to be judged? Are they going to bring out their toolbox? I'll talk about that in a minute and then try and fix me. I mean, what are they going to do? Is it safe for me to be me? And this establishes that, hey, you're in here, it stays in here, right? Here's the second one. If you want to have a successful small group, make it a gossip-free zone. Now, what is gossip? Gossip is talking about anybody that's not in the room, okay, without their permission. You're sharing about somebody who's not in the room without their permission. Because most likely, you're not going to share about somebody who is in the room without their permission. Oh, you know what so-and-so did? What? You can't say that, right? I mean, that's not going to happen. But sometimes inventing, maybe we want to share about our, oh, so-and-so did this to me or so-and-so did that. And you can bring names and drop names and things, and all of a sudden it becomes something it shouldn't, yes? And so what you want to do by establishing gossip-free zone, basically, and I'm just saying, hey, understandably, if you're there to talk about you, you're not there to talk about other people and their issues, and so maybe in your marriage or you have your kids, sometimes there's a line, right, depending upon the counsel. But you're there to basically bring your issues up. You're there to be able to share you. And how can I get from point A to point B in Jesus Christ? How can I grow? Amen? How can I get from here to here? I want to get closer to Jesus, but this is the thing I'm going through. So just establish that. Now, if somebody starts to talk about somebody else that's not in the group, what do you do? So, you're out of bounds. Kind of need to bring that back in there. Throw a flag down, right? I mean, what, right? You got to do it, guys, right? You got to do it. How many times I've talked to people, well, they just kept talking. I didn't know what to say. I just kept nodding my head. Silence is approval. I don't know if you know that. But in a social gathering, when somebody keeps talking and talking and talking about something or about somebody, and you're just nodding your head and you're just letting it go, silence is approval. They think, you think it's okay what they're saying. So what you got to do is you got to know, you know what? I love you, but you're out of bounds. Now here's the thing. If you're the one that's out of bounds and you're the one that's just started to gossip, don't take offense for your brother or sister doing what they were supposed to do. When they call you out of bounds, go, yeah, you're right, I was out of bounds, sorry about that, and move on. Because they're helping you learn how to have fellowship. in the right way. That make sense? And again, I'm not saying these to bash on anybody or whatever. I just want to be real with you. I want to share with you. This is how you do fellowship. This is how you do a small gathering. Covenant of confidentiality, a gossip-free zone. Man, if you have just these two things alone, you cannot believe the chatterboxes that people will become, right? I remember I was like that when I joined a small group and I had a bunch of stuff going on in my life years ago and before I started pastoring. And it was a local group, and I had moved from the mainland. And all these guys, I just started opening up about all this stuff of my life to complete strangers of them. I was just eyes big, mouth open. I can't believe he just shared all that stuff. Because evidently, you know, you don't do that. You don't share like that, right? I didn't care. I was hurting. I needed a hospital. I was like, guys, patch me up. I'm hurting. And I knew enough, right, to call 911. I knew enough to go get into a church. I knew enough that I had to get plugged in somewhere and not try to go alone, pull myself up by my own bootstraps. No, I needed the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. But a lot of people, they don't know they need that. And so they try and go it alone. There's a third thing. Is accept each other. I know this is so basic, right? But the Bible says that we to accept each other as Christ Jesus has accepted you. Accept one another. And so, how does this work? Well, we are all, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So guess what? We all start out in the same place. Doesn't matter what your sin, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what sin, you know, what your experience, what your past was, we're all the same. Understand? We're all the same. There's one gospel for all of us. And we all come to Christ and go, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I need you. And that needs to be the same level that we accept one another. Hey, but they start sharing something. And maybe it's not the same thing that you've gone through. You don't have any clue of what they're experiencing. Just listen and go, wow, you know, I love you. I love you just the way you are. I accept you just the way you are right now, right here, right now. That's important. Because if you accept them right there, right now, just the way they are, they'll accept you more, most likely. Isn't that good? Now again, that acceptance of each other, it's not we're not affirming each other's sin. Oh, okay, no. But what we're doing is we're accepting each other as people, as creations of God, as God's children. Yes? And so we want to be able to relate to one another. So these three, covenant of confidentiality, a gossip-free zone, accept each other. How many guys would join a group like this? Come on. How many of you guys have joined a group like this, yeah? Pretty cool. And some people think, well, oh, this is just, you know, one of those accountability groups. Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm a whatever, fill in the blank, right? And that's not what it's about. It's more than that. Because it's about learning to be a godly man, learning to be a godly woman. But we got to start somewhere. And you really need friends to help you. And this is the thing, too, is you might not understand this, but you can't learn everything, especially as a Christian. You can't learn it this way, didactic, or, oh, I'll take a class. You got to learn it in the midst, in the group. Sometimes it's experiencing things in the group. It's just different. This is the way the early church did it. And they did fine, yeah? Classes are great. But I'm talking about practicum. I'm talking about working it out, learning how to apply the Bible in your daily life, bringing the real life stuff that you're dealing with and being able to share it, and then hear from others. Now, not only that, but we want to accept each other. We want to affirm our commitment to each other through prayer, scripture, and sharing. What would this look like? Well, basically what you do is you have this group again. You establish hey, what's said here stays here. This is a gossip-free zone. If you start going out of bounds, we're going to throw down the flag. You know, I'm probably mixing metaphors and football, whatever. But you know what I mean. We're going to call it. And don't be offended when we call it. We love you. Accept each other. We're all on the same level here. No one's more righteous than another. There's no room for Pharisees. Amen? This is a Pharisee-free zone. And finally, affirm your commitment to each other. What does that look like? Well, when you have somebody that's sharing, you have one person sharing, and then the temptation is, when they start sharing their heart, is to pull out your toolbox, your Jesus box, right? Pull out the Jesus toolbox, you got the Jesus sticker on it and everything. Oh, man, you know what? Brother, I got the scripture for you. Okay. Speaking from experience as one who has pulled out his toolbox at probably too soon, be careful of doing that because you're in a listening phase. What you want to do is you want to go, rather than making statements, you go around the group and have people ask questions to get clarity, to understand what that person's really going through. But at first, you don't want to jump in and fix it, right? Why? Because every human being on this planet wants to be heard.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless. And have a great week in the Lord.